All right. Welcome in to Toilets, Two Titles, episode number 70. Today, I am riding solo as I am the only Toilets, Two Titles member on this here episode, but I do have a guest, and this guest is a recurring guest. I'm going to be introducing him shortly. We're going to be talking about the 2021 college football season. We're going to have some predictions made on the teams that make the playoffs, some of the awards, you know, the Heisman, Maxwell. We're going to be even talking about next year's NFL draft, and we might have a prediction of the top 10. Before we get to that, I do want to let everybody know you can find me on the Twitter at Coach Sheps. You can find the show on the Twitter at Toilets to Titles. Ways you can listen to the show, we are on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Spotify. We're on YouTube. And on Facebook, we have two pages. One is a Toilets to Titles page, and one is a page called When a Family Breaks, where we buy, sell, trade sports memorabilia. If you could, it would be greatly appreciated. You would go to our YouTube page, hit the like button on whatever episodes you're watching, hit the subscribe button. All that stuff really helps us out, helps our episodes pop up to the top when people are looking for things that we are discussing. Also, if you could, throw us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts. That would be greatly appreciated. Again, that helps the algorithm, helps us get heard and seen. So if you like our work, if we've helped you out, you know, we appreciate that if you'd help us out. Another way to help us out is we are on Patreon.com, patreon.com/toiletstotitles. We have three tiers. Tier one is $3 a month. It gets you into our group chat. So all the Toilets to Titles members are in there with all the Patreon members. Tier two is $5 a month. Gets you early access to our in-season waiver wire episodes. All right, get you into the group chat. And Frankenstank is full now, but it will get you into next year's Frankenstank League. Tier three is $10 per month. Gets you one-on-one roster analysis from anybody on the Toilets to Titles team. Get you free entry into our Frankenstank Listener League next year. Get you into the group chat. Get you early access to the waiver wire episode. So the guest I'm about to bring on is in Frankenstank, and it's full, man. The shenanigans are about to begin August 1st. But let's begin episode 70 shenanigans by bringing him in. This is Shane Hallam at Shane P. Hallam on the Twitter. Shane, what's cooking?
Hey, how's it going, man? Thanks for having me back. It's always a pleasure. I always enjoy coming on, and especially when we get to talk a little college football. It's usually not what we get to talk about, so that'll be fun today for sure.
Shane today is the god of thunder if you're watching at home, because with him came the lightning bolts. I do not know how to control these wallpapers in the background. We have a lot of stuff going on at Toilets to Titles. We got team breakdowns going on left and right between Justin and Joseph, and somebody put these lightning bolts up. And it really fits Shane's aura, man, because he just brings the thunder.
Like, maybe it's from the Chargers episode, but I feel like Thor out here. We're feeling good.
Yeah, good, man, good. And then I can be Loki. All right, we can be partners. All right. So Shane, anybody who isn't familiar with Shane, if you haven't seen about 20 of our episodes that he's been on of the 70, his Twitter is at Shane P. Hallam. That's H-A-L-L-A-M. He's a fantasy football, NFL draft, and college fantasy football analyst. He's a fantasy and draft analyst for Fake Pigskin. That's at Fake Pigskin. He's a co-host of the Debbie Marketplace podcast, which is at Debbie Marketplace, and 247 Sports Deal City Insider. And he also has you guys got to stay tuned because he's got some news dropping over the next few days. I don't know if you want to tease it at all, but it's some big news for him. And if you go follow him on Twitter, you will be one of the first people to find out when it drops.
No, thanks. I'm excited about it. So I hope people can give me a follow and a new step for me coming pretty soon. So
a new step. Hey, Shane. So I know you're a Steelers fan. You were just recently on the Steelers offseason breakdown. Before we get into this college football discussion, do you have any thoughts on Steelers camp? You know, I know they started early because, right, they're playing Cowboys in the Hall of Fame game. So what's the buzz coming out of Pittsburgh?
Absolutely. I'm actually going to be going this upcoming weekend. I'm covering it for 24/7 Sports for this weekend. So I'm excited about that. So I get to talk to Coach Tomlin and some of the players, and that's exciting. But, you know, it's definitely been the new offense, you know, with Matt Canada is going to be very different. So I think that's something to expect: a lot more motion, a lot more under center, a lot more passes to the running back, screens to Najee Harris. Seem likely. He's definitely gotten some buzz. He's going to be used a lot. And on the lower end, Dwayne Haskins has been kind of lighting it up. Looks like he's maybe a foot ahead in the number three quarterback discussion. And I tweeted yesterday, I'm excited 2022 for the quarterback battle between Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins for starting Steelers quarterback. That probably will come in a year. So, that's really been it so far. Defense is good, and offense is going to be very different. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, Shep Stradamus coming out, some articles coming out. So we have Toilets and Titles website is actually coming out. Well, I guess this is the first time I'm saying this on air. I think I dropped the ball there. We haven't even said we have a website coming, and we've just been teasing it. And I guess you heard it here first. 5 minutes into this episode, we have a website coming out tomorrow. And keep your eyes open. And I've written a few articles, and Shep Stradamus wrote an article stating, you know, some predictions for this season. And he does predict that the Ben Roethlisberger doesn't make it through 8 games this year. So I know you're saying Haskins might be battling it out there with Rudolph. They might have an opportunity to, I guess, showcase their stuff this season for about 9 games. So now, to make some predictions, we got 3 wide receivers there in fantasy football between Deontay, Juju, and Claypool. And I think they're being drafted in that order, if I'm not mistaken. Who would you take if you were – you know, Shane Allen playing fantasy football, maybe possibly in the Frankenstein League, which you're in. Who is the wide receiver of your choice of those three?
Like, I think in PPR, I'm taking Deontay. He's, if the offensive line isn't good, he's going to be the quick hit, hot route. You know, that's going to be the total. He's had a couple drops in camp, which is not a good sign, but after last year, but I'll take him. But I'm very happy with Chase Claypool as well, for kind of the upside. So I like both those guys. Juju, you know, I'll stay away from.
The Gridiron Scholar is in here, John Lau. What's happening, man? It is nice to see you here. He's going to be at the expo too. You're going to be at the expo. John's going to be at the expo. I'm going to be at the expo. It's going to be one big shindig. Just so if you're listening at home and you're not familiar, Fantasy Football Expo, I think, is not this coming weekend. Is it next weekend? It's the 14th, right? 14th and 15th?
Right, yeah, 2 weekends.
2 weekends from now. So we're all going to be meeting up, catching up, and breaking some bread. So John Lyle is in the chat, and he's going to be there as well. But, yeah, man, so you're taking Deontay Johnson. And I think the value play – in Dynasty, at least, is Chase Claypool, because he's, you know, I think going a little bit below the other two, and you might be able to get him and hold on to him. And if they could get a quarterback with a strong arm like Ben Roethlisberger used to have, I think they could really utilize his skill set, you know? So.
Yeah. I think he did fine with Ben Roethlisberger last year. So I'm confident that, there'll be enough to go around. I think it could be a decent offense this year. And Steelers are – I think people are sleeping on Steelers a little bit.
Now, Freiermuth or Ebron?
I mean, I think Ebron's going to start. Freiermuth's look really good in catching the football. Every time he catches a football, Mike Tomlin yells, "Can you block?" So I think that tells you what they want Pat Freiermuth to do. So so I think Ebron this year, Freiermuth for the future for sure.
I actually visualized Tomlin. I thought you were serious. So I visualized.
I am.
He yells at every time.
Yep. Every time Freiermuth catches a pass.
Man, so that is a visual right there. Mike Tomlin yelling, "Can you block?" All right, Shane, we are moving on to some college football discussion. So the floor is yours. I do, you know, I watch a decent amount of college football, but I watch a lot of my college football after the season, when I watch individuals, you know, when I'm doing my film breakdown. So I am not as in touch with the college football world as you are. And I brought you on to make some college football predictions, because when's the first game? 3 weeks from now?
Yeah, first game is August 28th. So we have, 4 weeks from now. So it's week 4 0. Weeks from
now, man. That's crazy. We have our first game of the preseason on Thursday night, right? The Cowboys got the Steelers.
Yeah.
Then we have preseason ball. We got college football coming. So we're really out of the doldrums of the offseason. Things are starting to get real. So let's get right to the point, man. Let's predict the college football playoffs, okay? We'll see if your Ohio State is showing in this prediction, but I think it's easy to say. So why don't you tell me a little bit of how you think the season's going to go, and then boom, right into the top four, the college football playoffs.
I think it's kind of a weird season this year because I think most people would agree. Like, there's kind of three powerhouse teams in terms of recruiting, in terms of consistent success, right? Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson are kind of the three. But all three have new quarterbacks coming in this year. And so that's pretty odd, but that's what's happening. So I think there's a chance for those teams to be overtaken. I think some of them still do well. I think we're going to have some interesting back and forth. So for the playoff, my prediction, my top four at the end of the season, my guess, my number one team that I think will probably go undefeated is the Oklahoma Sooners. I think are the team to beat this year, right? Spencer Rattler's coming into his second year, presumptive number one overall pick in the 2022 NFL draft. Their defense has really gotten better through last season. They brought in Eric Gray, phenomenal running back from Tennessee. They have receivers abound, young guys. Like, I in the Big 12, I mean, Oklahoma's leaving in three years now, but the Big 12 is not great. So I think that they're kind of my pick. My number two team that I think, you know, maybe a loss, but possibly undefeated, kind of a sleeper. It's not a sleeper team, but kind of a team that people don't talk about up in the top four is Texas A&M. I think they're going to be really good this year. They have the defense. They have maybe the best running back in college football, or second best in Isaiah Spiller. Finally going to get some of these young receivers on the field. I like their new quarterback, Haynes King, a lot, and I think he can do – what Kellen Mond did. A&M was close to the playoff last year. Probably should have gotten in over Notre Dame to me. So I think they're going to be good.
What grade is Haynes King in, Jing?
He's going to be a redshirt freshman. So he came in last year, backed up Kellen Mond, and he's definitely one of those players to me that no one knows about, but everyone's going to know about in a year, and he's going to have a lot of buzz for that class. So. And then three or four, I'm gonna stick with Alabama because I feel like Alabama can drop two games and still make the playoff. Like, they're, you know, it's Alabama. I think they're gonna lose a game. I really like Bryce Young.
Who's beating them? Ole Miss.
Yeah. Well, I think A&M can beat them. I think Mississippi can beat them. Mercer, right? They're playing Mercer, so that's always a no. They always have those, like, two cupcake games every year, right? So I think they're playing at A&M, which I think is going to be a tough game. I think I think the Auburn game is always tough. And then they open at Miami, which is not going to be easy to win.
Defense being ranked pretty high this season. A lot of people are high on that Miami defense. And that's after losing Russo and Phillips.
Right. Maybe have, you know, one of the best safeties in college football, Bubba Bolden. They have some good corners there. I think some of the linebackers are underrated. So if they can keep it close, I mean, De'Aaron King can run. Miami could keep that game pretty close. I wouldn't say they're going to win, but
Bubba Bolden, do you think his game translates to the NFL? I know he's a thumper. Do you think he can actually? He's got the tool set to be a deep safety in the NFL, or you see him more as a guy who's going to be a linebacker tweener?
That's the fear. I have him ranked fairly high in my rankings, but I'm scared he's going to be kind of a tweener, like, you know, maybe can play kind of a Richie Grant, like, in the box safety kind of role, second day.
I like Grant, man. I think Grant's going to be all right.
I think he will too. I think Bob Bolden has that kind of closing speed that, okay, like, we can make this guy work, or you can train him up. So I'm interested to see him this year, because if he can expand his pass coverage, you know, sky's the limit. So
awesome. So Alabama, you think they might lose two games. Then after Alabama, what do we have?
Then I'm going with Ohio State. I don't think Ohio State will remain undefeated this year. I expect C.J. Stroud to be the quarterback there. We should get an announcement pretty soon of who that starter is going to be. And they have a great receiving group. You know they're going to bring the defense. Running back's an issue. We'll see if the true freshman, Travion Henderson, will get a hold of that midseason and kind of run with that job. But, I mean, the Big Ten's just fairly weak. It's tough to see them losing much more than a game, perhaps.
Oh, so we before we get into your championship prediction, I don't know who this Facebook user is, unfortunately, but he said, "Are you in favor of the expanded playoff scenario of 12 teams that has been talked about, or Mike Leach's 64 team playoff?" So, man, the 12 team playoff, I'd take six, I'd take eight. So get 12, yeah, heck yeah, I'd be in favor of that. But I think more practically six or eight. What are your thoughts, Shane?
Look, more college football, I'm down. Well, give it to me.
Coach Fry. What's up, Fry?
I'll take it. Good to see Fry in there. I'll take it. I'll take the 12. That's fine with me. Yeah, I always thought six would be ideal. Get a little bye for the top two, help them out. But if you can do a 12-team playoff, get all the conference winners in there, hopefully, you know.
Give me a Cinderella, too.
Yeah. That'll never be guaranteed or to be included. But, you know, it was interesting the Pac-12 was against the 12-team playoff as written because it gave the top-ranked conference winners preference, right? So the Coastal Carolinas and Cincinnati's would get in over the Pac-12 winner last year. So they're like, no, you know, we need a guarantee. So, I still get scared it'll leave out some of those teams. But, yeah, I would love to be able to see – you know, hey, let Cincinnati take on Alabama. Let's see what happens, right?
Yes. That's what I want. More football, more games, man. Speaking of Coastal Carolina, Isaiah Likely, I really like him, the tight end out of Coastal Carolina. What are your thoughts on him?
I've been a fan for a while. I have him in a couple Debbie leagues. I drafted him a year or two ago. I think he's a good athletic player. I think that offense is going to break open. I think Likely down the seam is really where they need to use him a bit more. I think this year we'll see that. But they actually have a really good offense. I mean, Grayson McCall, their quarterback, is very – I think he's really underrated. I think he'll burst onto the scene this year. Reese White, their running back's good. Javon Heli, their top receiver. Like, they have a really good offense that I think could compete with some of these big dogs. So, and Likely's a problem because tight ends, there's not a lot of good ones, so they're tough to cover.
This year's a great class. You got Wiedemeyer, Likely, and who's the cat out of Iowa State?
Yeah, Charlie Kohler.
Is this class as good as you think it's going to be one of the better classes from the past few years? Or you think they're just average players in a great system?
I think we need to let it play out because I think it has that potential. I think there's a lot of players. Jalel Billingsley from Alabama, super athletic, small. He's kind of more receiver to me than tight end. He's kind of getting top billing with Wiedemeyer, but I think there's a lot of potential for this tight end class. Jeremy Ruckert from Ohio State, Austin Stogner from Oklahoma, Kate Otten, Washington. I think there's a lot of guys, even like Cole Turner from Nevada, that have some potential. So, it could be good. And, I know, as John said, there's no Kyle Pitts at the top. I think Jalen Wiedemeyer is really, really good. I think he's going to be a first-round pick in the NFL draft, and I think people are sleeping on him a little bit because I think he's been doing it from day one and going to keep going right here.
All right. So I know I'm kind of navigating you all over the place, and I apologize. You're handling these potholes very well. But back to the playoffs. Your finals prediction. Who's meeting in the college football championship, and who's winning?
Yeah, so I just have the top two. Oklahoma against Texas A&M. I think Oklahoma is going to win the national title. And, I'm trying to be a little bit different. I'm sure Alabama or Ohio State or Clemson will be in there, right? But I think Oklahoma, this is their chance. I think to win, I think it'd be a kind of a crazy story with them leaving the Big 12 and the whole conference realignment conversation to go out there, win a national title in the Big 12. But I think all around, they're the best team. If one of these quarterbacks really smash, then and I think all three will be good for Alabama, Clemson, or Ohio State, then hey, that's probably have they probably have a really good chance. But I think Oklahoma is the best team, and Lincoln Riley's a really good coach. I think they can win it all.
All right, so let's move on to some awards, Shane, and let's start out with the Freshman of the Year. So it's 2021 recruiting class only. Discuss who you think is going to be up for the runnings for that award.
So my number one for Freshman of the Year is G.A. Hall, wide receiver for Alabama. Alabama's wide receivers, they're all kind of gone, right? We lost Ruggs, we lost Judy, we lost Devonta Smith, you know, Jalen Waddle, they're all good. They're all gone. So John Metchie's kind of the returning guy. I don't think he's very good. So they brought in a ton of freshmen, four top 15 freshman receivers this year. And my favorite is Agia Hall, who's like super athletic in the spring game, just making crazy catches. I think he's going to be the number one there. I think he's going to be Freshman of the Year. He's going to be their go-to. My number two is Travion Henderson, the running back for Ohio State. Number one running back in the class, five-star. I don't know if he starts until midseason, but I think once he does, he's going to be kind of like Ezekiel Elliott was and J.K. Dobbins was as freshmen. Like, oh, they're too good to keep off the field. He is that good. He was dominant in high school. And then number three, kind of a sleeper, is Xavier Worthy, wide receiver for Texas. He is like super athletic, good deep speed. I think Casey Thompson's probably going to start there for Texas. And then, you know, Troy Omier is going to be the number one, but I think Worthy's going to get some play. I think he's going to have some big games. I think he could really be a guy that jumps onto the scene. So from that 2021 recruiting class, those are kind of my top three this year for college football.
Very interesting. I'm hearing a lot about Henderson, but Hall and Worthy are players I haven't heard much about. It's interesting that Texas has a few, like two young players, you know, on these lists, and that'll be interesting to watch because they'll at least have one more year after this year. So we'll get to see this guy go into a sophomore year and Bijan Robinson go into his junior year. I wonder if that offense can start to roll before they move into the SEC, you know. So those are some players to watch if you play Devy or if you're just watching college football in general. Those are some young guys to keep on the radar. All right, Shane, let's move on to Maxwell Award. All right, so this is for the nation's top quarterback. Who are the guys going to be battling this one out?
Yeah, for the nation's top player, I went all quarterbacks. So I went with DJ Uiagalelei, quarterback for Clemson. I think he's the best player in college football. Like, he is Ben Roethlisberger. If Ben Roethlisberger could run like a 4-5 flat.
Dang.
And I mean, he's that athletic. He reminds me a lot. And this might sound like a knock, but of Dante Culpepper, if you remember him, right? Big, man, athletic.
Tore up the NFL for a while with Randy Moss and Chris Carter.
Hit that one year, and it was like, oh, this guy is a different breed. Like, DJ Uiagalelei is a different breed. And I think Clemson's team this year is going to be a little bit down as a whole. They have a lot of young guys, a lot of holes to fill. The defensive line will be good. So that's why I don't have him in the playoff. But if the rest of the team is really good, like, I think he's going to be able to eat up the ACC. So I have him. I have Bryce Young, the quarterback for Alabama. I talked about a little bit before. Number two, I think he'll come in. He can run, which is different for Alabama. Usually they don't have a running quarterback, so I'm interested to see how that goes. And then Matt Corral, quarterback for Mississippi. I'm excited to see him play this year. He had two really bad games, and the rest of the season last year was very, very good. I think that he's kind of an NFL draft sleeper. Could be a potential first-round pick if all goes well. But has that mix of athleticism, the moxie. You know, he stands in there, he takes hits. So I think those three quarterbacks are three of my top guys that I don't have in the Heisman race.
Now, I know that the Gridiron Scholar who's in here right now, he really loves Matt Corral. I've been hearing him talk him up. So this guy I got my eyes on. You put me on to Bryce Young a few years ago. I actually got him on one of my Devy squads, thanks to you. Every year at around this time, you know, guys like Shane and John get messages from guys like me asking, hey, who do you think I should take, this or this guy? And you always help me out, so I really appreciate that. And that's why you should definitely check out his podcast, because he's got all those tidbits in there. But Shane, I know when Bryce Young came into school, he was a little undersized. Has he matured? Has he grown at all? Has he gotten a little more stocky, sturdy, or is he still got about the same frame? What would you say? Is he developing physically?
So I've definitely heard that he is getting a little bit bigger, which is kind of the key, right? I mean, he's not going to get, you know, he's probably 6 feet tall. He's not going to get much taller, but you don't need the height anymore after Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson. Right. But
a rocket for an arm.
But I've heard he's getting close to 200 pounds. Okay. And that's the ideal, right? If he hits 200, then you're in a nice spot at his height. So that's something I'm going to keep my eye on. I'm going to see what, if he holds up this year, it's going to be exciting to watch. I'm really excited to see how he does.
Do you think that quarterback from Coastal Carolina you were talking about earlier, is there any chance he, ends up in the finalists for the Maxwell Award?
It could happen. I really considered like some of these smaller school quarterbacks because I think we have a lot of good ones. Grace McCall, like we talked about. I mean, Carson Strong for Nevada is getting strong NFL draft buzz. You have Desmond Ridder for Cincinnati if he can continue what he started last year. So I definitely think some of those non-Power 5 quarterbacks could end up here, and probably one of them is going to put up some crazy numbers, you know, and do it. I'm a McCall fan. That's definitely the guy that I like. We'll have another non-Power 5 come up in our Heisman discussion. So
it could happen. It could happen. Oh yeah. So I think I know where you're going with that one, Shane. All right. Because I have the show notes and you can see it. All right. Doak Walker, nation's best running back. We're loaded at running backs right now. I think last year's class was a little bit disappointing. So not that all these guys are going to be coming out this year, but we have some running backs to keep an eye on. So who are your finalists for the Doak Walker? Actually, you know what? Before we go finalists, Shane, why don't you tell me who's going to win the Maxwell? Which one is winning it? Make your pick.
That's a good one. I'll go with TJ Ongalay. I guess maybe I'm hedging my bet a little bit because I guess if he wins the Maxwell, they're probably going to the playoff, right? Things are probably connected. But I just think he's so talented. Like I said, I think he's the best quarterback in college football. So I think you got to put him on there.
All right. So now Doak Walker. Nation's best running backs. Let me hear who's going to be in this award finals.
So, number one, I feel like I have to put Bijan Robinson from Texas in this final because, man, he is something special. I don't think I've seen a running back like him since Saquon Barkley just to have everything, be able to do literally everything and dominate a game by himself. I think we saw that last year.
Man, that's exciting to hear.
So, I mean, he's, I would even say far and away the best running back in college football. I'm not sure anyone really touches him. Now, does that translate to winning the Doak Walker? Not always, right? It's about stats. It's about, you know, what team you play for. But I do think that he's going to be there.
Man, a running back with that burnt orange, there's something about it. So I do think he might not be at the SEC, but when you're running the football, you know, like some of these, like Ricky Williams, you know, Earl Campbell, right? So I think that gives him a good chance.
Yeah, I don't know. Absolutely. I think he'll become a household name this year with Texas. And enough people know him now, but in our community, but I think the world, the college football world, is going to recognize his talent soon. So number two, I'm going Isaiah Spiller, running back for Texas A&M. I just love the size, speed combination. I think he's going to carry that team for a little while, and that offensive line's really built to run block. So I think he's going to be good. And then my number three is another candidate for the 2023 NFL draft, and that's Zach Evans, running back for TCU, 5-star recruit. Had some kind of off-field maturity issues. Where was he going? He ended up going to TCU. But TCU doesn't have a lot. They have a really good receiver. They have a quarterback that's developing. He's going to just run. I mean, his early schedule was so poor. He can walk through holes. And I think we're going to see him have, you know, 500-yard games in a row to start the season, and people are gonna be like, whoa, you know, that really gets you on board. So I think Zach Evans is a player or two that's going to rise this season.
So no Breece Hall.
No Breece Hall. You know, I'm sure that's a mistake. And I like Breece Hall. He's my number two running back for next year. He just missed the cut. But I always wonder, is Iowa State going to be as good, you know, as – you know, that's my question. They have been the last 2 years.
Purdy's coming back. They do have that, you know, solid tight end. I think they're returning a lot of starters, so we'll see.
They are. I mean, Xavier Hutchinson, they have a good receiver too, but I don't trust Brock Purdy personally. I think Breece Hall's going to have to be that offense, and will teams be able to adjust? Will Big 12 defenses get a little bit better? That's what we'll see. So I think Breece Hall's really good. I think he's definitely going to go to the NFL and be a top 100 pick, but just didn't quite make it here.
Joe Knows dropped in and said he's taking notes for 2022. So Joe Knows. That's all right. So who wins the award, Shane? Who wins the Doak Walker?
You know what? I'll give it to Bijan. I'll give it to him. I will. I just think he's too talented. If Texas is good this year, if they're competing, if they're a top 10, top 15 team, then Bijan Robinson's going to win this award.
Texas competing is great for college football, in my opinion. Give me a strong Texas. Give me a strong Miami. Give me a strong USC. You know, I'd like to see all of those teams competing because it reminds me of the 90s. Florida State, throw them in there too. Let's get Florida State to bounce back, which I don't know if that's happening anytime soon.
I really think this season we have a good shot at Texas, Oklahoma both being undefeated when they go into that game. And right. I think that would be great for college football.
There'd be some buzz. All right, Shane, I threw this one on you last minute because for some reason I missed this award. The Blitnikoff, all right? Let's hear the nation's top three wide receivers. Who's going to be in the running for finalists for the Blitnikoff Award?
So my number one is Kayshon Boutte, wide receiver for LSU.
Great name.
Perfect name.
Guys like that, like Dwayne Bowe, like they always just got, like LSU, they just know how to bring in guys who got names that just fit, you know, down there.
And they're all good. Like, you know, it's crazy. True freshman last year, once Terrace Marshall opted out, Boutte became the number one guy, and I mean, he dominated. He's my number one receiver in college football this season. Whoever's there, it seems like it might be Miles Brennan, but Max Johnson competing for the job. You know, LSU
can throw. Got boring names. You know, they're stud players. Yeah, Max Johnson. You know, those are some boring names. Give me a quarterback down there that fits. You know, with the other names there.
Brad Johnson's son, you know, you can't get an exciting name out of that. But Kayshon Boutte,
yeah,
ready to go. I think we know that LSU offense, you know, the receivers at LSU are on something because there's something different. And Boutte's right there.
Gumbo, baby. They're on gumbo.
Exactly. The gumbos, they probably are. That's great.
Who's next after Boutte?
Number two, I'm going David Bell, Purdue. Rondale Moore's gone there. David Bell getting some NFL draft love. He's not my top guy for this upcoming year. I think he's number three for me, but I think he's going to have a really big season. They're just going to be throwing the ball with that poor defense, and he's going to catch a ton of passes. Big numbers, and Purdue, I don't know how good they'll be. But I think he can, because of Rondale Moore, he can really get those wings out and be in the top three for the Blitnikoff. And then my number three, I'm predicting the comeback. Justin Ross, Clemson, had the neck issue, didn't play last season. Seems like he's going to be back. We'll see what happens. But I'm predicting he comes back. Great story if he can come back. I mean, he was really dominant as a freshman, had that size. DeAndre Hopkins, like, as a true freshman, and if he's healthy, the sky is the limit. So if I had BJ Ongole up there for the Maxwell, I'm going to go with Justin Ross coming back, being the number one, and be such a great story.
Wasn't it – so there's a neck thing. Wasn't there a leg thing too? Wasn't the leg first? Or my mistake?
Yeah, he had a leg injury. It wasn't anything serious. Okay. And then the neck – you know, that held him out for a few games. And then, yeah, the neck issue popped up. And like I said, seems like he's been medically cleared. But There's still some question marks there if can he be full go 100%. We'll see.
Shame. Hopefully we do see it, man. Hopefully we do see it. All right. So now after that, let's go with the final, the Heisman. Actually, no, you got to tell me who's winning the Biletnikoff before we move on to Heisman.
You know, I'll go with David Bell. I just think the number is going to be good. I think the talent's going to be good. The NFL draft buzz will be good. And I mean, if Ross is back, I think it's going to be tough for him to not get it if he has a really good season, but I'll go with David Bell.
All right, excellent. All right, so David Bell, now Heisman finalist. Shane, who are going to be in the running for that Heisman Trophy Award at the end of the year?
So, yeah, so I made this different for my Maxwell guys to not talk about the same players, right? Because a lot of times those are very similar. But Spencer Rattler for Oklahoma, I mean, if they are in the national championship discussion, number one team, I think a quarterback for Oklahoma, he's going to be – like I said, the presumptive number one overall pick. He's going to be in that conversation. He's going to lead that team. And then non-Power 5 quarterback, Malik Willis, quarterback for Liberty, getting that some NFL draft buzz. If he has a really good season. You know, he's a player who has that rushing ability along with the big arm and the throwing ability. And Liberty, not exactly a school that that is, you know, known for that. Malik Willis was a big recruit. He was at Auburn before this, so it's not
did
like
he ever throw to Gandy Golden?
He did not. So I think last year was his kind of first year. So if I'm not mistaken, did not throw to Gandy Golden, but has, you know, he has all those tools. He's going to run around the field. I think he's going to put up big numbers, get that buzz. Now, my number three, I think it's a little bit of a sleeper this year, a guy that transferred to Texas Tech, and that's Tyler Shock, quarterback, started at Oregon last year, who my co-host, Kane Fasell, on the Debbie Marketplace, very excited about. And I think Tyler Shock is going to be really good. You know, Texas Tech, more of still kind of that air raid throwing offense. He's big. He's athletic. He can move around a little bit. He's not a runner, but he can move around a little bit. And I think he's going to put up a ton of passing numbers. I think Texas Tech is going to be a pretty good team this year. So I think Shock and Willis are two guys to look for that will kind of raise their NFL draft stocks, raise their college football stocks, and help their team.
Now, if there was to be a defensive – I know I'm putting you on the spot here. There was to be a defensive player in the Heisman discussion this year. If there was one guy who's just going to be around the football all the time, he's just a magnet for the football, who would you say, who would be your guess of the defensive player that would be able to be in the discussion?
So I think a lot of people will pick Kayvon Thibodeaux for Oregon, who's a potential number one overall pick, pass rusher. But I'm going to go back to Alabama. Will Anderson is a true sophomore. Is a monster. I mean, he in 2 years he's going to be a top five pick, pass rusher from an outside linebacker spot. He could stand up. He could put his hand down. Like he's going to make things happen. If Alabama it goes undefeated, Will Anderson's going to be a big reason why. Maybe more than the offense. So he would be my guy that would get a little bit of buzz.
Excellent, excellent. All right. So who's winning the Heisman, Shane?
I got to go Rattler. I think it's, you know, sometimes it's the easiest call, right? It's just the guy that, you know, is going to get it. I think Rattler developed enough. I think he'll still make mistakes, but Oklahoma and that system is just so good. We know Oklahoma quarterbacks can win the Heisman, so you don't really want to deny that potential, and I think Rattler can ride that to number one overall in the NFL draft.
All right, so my next question was going to be Howell or Rattler, but that gets answered in this next segment. We're going to move on. Shane's going to do for us a very early, all right, 2022 NFL Draft top 10 prediction. So, Shane, I put you on the spot this week. I asked you. So, Shane, you're going by the order is reverse Vegas Super Bowl odds. So this is not Shane deciding on his own. This isn't Shane Stradamus. All right, no. This is Vegas. So Vegas has made these decisions for Shane. Shane, I think right off the bat you're going to answer Rattler or Howell. So let's hear your go through your top five first, and then we'll break that down.
Sure. Number one, the Houston Texans. Spencer Rattler, quarterback, Oklahoma. You know, Sean Watson's out.
Where's he going?
Denver? I don't know. I think Denver is the most likely scenario.
I hope.
I don't know if it happens this year, but I think – by the NFL draft, he will not be on the Houston Texans. Let's say that. And if that's the case, then I think Spencer Rattler, just the arm, the movement ability, I actually think he's probably going to be a step above Howell in terms of NFL draft stock.
So. That's cold, Joe. But Joe said he's going to prison. That's not nice.
Well, you know, maybe he should. But number two.
Joe Rattler, who's next?
Yeah, number two, Detroit Lions. I have them taking Sam Howell. So quarterback for North Carolina. And honestly, I don't know if Howell's going to go number two overall. I mean, I feel like if we have, let's say Malik Willis comes out and smashes, that he could be here instead. At this point, I don't feel comfortable putting that out there. I think Sam Howell, just that limited ceiling can scare some teams away. Maybe it's a little high for him, but the Lions, I don't think Jared Goff's the answer. I think they take a quarterback in the first round, wherever they end up. And how would be a fit? He's definitely a football guy. So
Justin, my co-host, said he just tuned in. He wants to know if we want him to hop into the green room and fix the background. I said, no, Shane brought the thunder.
This
man
is great. Yeah. It's
more in low key today, Justin. So back off. Let's talk with it. All right. So you have Howell going second to the Detroit Lions. Are Lions fans going to be happy with this selection?
I think they should if it happens. I think any quarterback is going to help them, right? They built a lot. I really like the direction the Lions are going, because they built the offensive line, the defensive line. And that's a great place to start.
Panay Sewell, right? Panay Sewell. Why are you getting any better than that, Mr.?
Yeah. Yeah. Panay Sewell. They took two defensive tackles in the top, you know, in the second, third round. Like,
caps.
That's what you're supposed to do, right? That's what we always talk about. And so, yeah, I think this is great. You bring in a quarterback, but Aisel's blocking the blind side, and now you can finally start to build an exciting offense. I actually kind of like what they've been doing. And so if they can find that, this quarterback class could go either way. This quarterback class could be really bad. It could be Spencer Rattler, and that's it. Or we could have four or five guys that come out this year and look really good and fit. So it's really up in the air what this quarterback class could end up.
All right, who's next?
Number three, the New York Jets. I have them taking Kayvon Thibodeau, maybe the most talented player in college football, off the edge in Oregon. He's been day one, stepping in as a freshman. He was dominant. He's a little bit undersized, but he is a really, really good pass rusher, can stand up, hand the ground. I love his first step. It's electric, really hard to stop. A good spin move up to the inside. So I think the Jets need some pass rush. And I mean, if the team at number one overall doesn't need a quarterback, Kayvon Thibodeau is going to be the number one overall pick.
You had to compare him to one of the edge rushers to come out in, like, let's say, the last 5 or 6 years. I know there's been a lot of big names. Does he fit up there with the Bosas, the Youngs, the Garretts? Does he fit up there, or what would you say?
I think he does. He kind of compares to Myles Garrett to me. I think he's a very similar player to Myles Garrett, and has that kind of tenacity, has the kind of unique pass rushing ability. Like I said, that first step really reminds me of Myles Garrett. So I think he's in that conversation with those players. Absolutely.
We didn't have one of those guys last year. We didn't. No. We were missing that completely. I guess, you know, Micah Parsons off the edge, he's a bad dude, but he was overlooked for sure. But we didn't have that natural put his finger in the dirt edge rusher. So that's Kayvon Thibodeau. I like to hear that. I like to hear that, because we do need one of those edge defenders in a draft class to really spice it up. All right, who's next? Who we got next?
For the Jacksonville Jaguars, I haven't taken Kyle Hamilton, safety out of Notre Dame. We haven't had a top five safety in a long time. This might be the year. Kyle Hamilton is a really, really good player. Two-way, can play deep, good coverage guy, really good change of direction, loose hips. But, man, he can bring the hit too. Like, he kind of does it all. He was a big reason why I think Notre Dame was – as good as they were last year, record-wise, was Kyle Hamilton. So I think maybe four is a little bit high, but I think he has a shot to go that high. I think he's definitely a top 10 pick next year.
Who was the Hawaiian dude they had at safety a year or two ago? He had some good film. I can't think of his name. I'll look him up. I thought he was going to be – it's interesting to me that he looked good about a year or two ago. I know there was some buzz about him, and then he kind of fell off, and now Kyle Hamilton comes up and he's the riser and he's going to pop into the top five. So it's nice to see. I love that position. I love scout and safety. Safeties is very fun to just watch. There's a lot of positions where, you know, it's nuances to the game you need to pay attention to. With safeties, I just like to see guys who are around the football and have it. And it is more fun for me to watch. So, all right, after the Jacksonville Jaguars taking Kyle Hamilton, who do you have five to the Cincinnati Bengals?
Cincinnati Bengals, I have Derek Stingley, cornerback out of LSU, another player that stepped in as a freshman, five-star recruit, dominant. You know, LSU, they have receivers, they have corners, and Stingley's big, he's long. He's had some off games. I don't think he's maybe last year wasn't as good as he was 2 years ago. But I think he'll get that back. I think he'll put himself in position to be a top 10 pick. And, you know, I consider going offensive tackle here, but I think the Bengals defense is going to be more of an issue for them this season. So I think Stingley deserves to be in that top five mix.
It was Alohi Gilman. That was the safety for Notre Dame, number 11. So I know in 2019 he looked very solid. All right, so we have two quarterbacks going top five, and then three defensive players. All right, so after the top five, let's see how it goes. You have Carolina at six. Well, Vegas has Carolina at six. Who are they selecting?
Evan Neal, offensive tackle, Alabama. This
so
is
you're sticking with Darnold.
Sticking with Darnold. Yeah, and here's the thing: is right now, I just don't think there is enough quarterbacks to say there's another top 10 guy. I think Rattler and Howe are it. Like I said, someone could get in there and maybe they pass, but I mean, I think offensive tackle still will be a bit of a need for them. Evan Neal's a guy that can play tackle or guard. I mean, 6'7", 360 pounds.
And he
moves like he's a 300 pounder. So it's one of those kind of players like Mekhi Becton was. It's like, this guy's a freak of nature. Get him. And you can find a way to use him and have him be dominant for you. So he's my only top 10 offensive tackle. I keep saying on Twitter, this defensive class is out of this world for 2022. I think us fantasy players are going to be disappointed because it's going to be defense.
And Cowboys need defense, baby. So bring it.
We haven't seen that in a while. So, but Evan Neal is my last offensive player in this top 10 at number six.
All right. Number seven, Philadelphia Eagles. Who they take?
Yeah, so I've Philly taken Drake Jackson, edge player from USC. So my second edge player in this class. Another guy that I think could play three, four outside linebacker, can be a stand-up weak side pass rusher, could play some defensive end, pretty versatile athlete, good athlete, good player, and the leader of USC's defense. So I think he's on the fringe of the top 10. But if he has a good year, could really get up to number seven.
All right, so there goes Drake Jackson, number eight, Las Vegas Raiders. I know we have a guy who's going to be very interested to hear who you think his Raiders are going to select, and that is Rich Gonzalez. So let Rich know who the Raiders are going to be taking at number eight, which Rich is going to think Vegas is wrong because Rich thinks they're winning the Super Bowl. But who are the Vegas Raiders taking?
Yeah, don't Rich come after me. I love you, Rich. So I didn't put the Raiders here, but I haven't taken Christian Harris, linebacker from Alabama, our second Alabama player off the board in the top 10, which seems appropriate. So Christian Harris is, he didn't get hurt. So I think there's maybe no fear that he's going to end up like Alabama linebacker did last year. But Harris has played really well. Middle linebacker, inside linebacker, could play outside. He's someone who cleans up tackles. I like him in pass coverage. I think he has kind of that all-around talent to give you a little bit of that edge, right? And I think you and I talked about that with Michael Parsons a lot going into the draft. Like, I think Harris has that kind of edge to him that is going to set the tone for Alabama's defense. So, I think he's going to be a potential top 10 pick at linebacker.
So he's a Raider. He's got that.
He has that mentality.
Yeah. Yes. All right, good. All right. So next, Joseph is going to be a little disappointed because earlier he said he has no idea who the Giants are going to be selecting with the 32nd pick. Well, Vegas has them picking ninth overall, and Shane has a little bit of an idea of who they might take. So, Shane, who are the Giants selecting at ninth?
So at nine, I haven't taken Kair Elam, corner out of Florida.
I feel like Elam comes out of Florida like every 10 years.
You're right.
Yeah.
So, I feel like there always is There always is one, right? This family bleeds that blue and orange. But I mean, he's son of Abram Elam, I think was an NFL safety. But you know, he's big, 6'2", 195. Big long right. corner, good jam corner. So he kind of has a little bit of that hit safety mentality. Usually those Florida corners, I feel like, are a little more finesse, and he's not. So that's why I think I like him in the top 10. So I think he's, once again, kind of on the border there, but with a good year, he could be up there.
All right. So there goes the first corner at 9th overall. Very interesting that a safety went above a corner this year.
It's Kyle Hamilton at 4, and we had two corners, Stingley at 5, and Elam at 9. So,
secondary. The Falcons are picking 10th overall. Who are they selecting? And this is the last pick with this top 10. Go ahead.
More defense. DeMarvin Leal, defensive line out of Texas A&M. So, a defensive tackle possibility. You know, 6'4", 290. And he's kind of that rangy, rushing interior tackle. That's what Leal is. So, you know, when I talk about Texas A&M making the playoff, a lot of it's backed on this defense. Leal really good at stopping the run, but he gets down, he plays really low and uses his hands in extraordinary fashion. And I think that's what makes a difference for him as a player, puts him in the top 10. So, he's someone I really, really like, because I think he's going to be a difference maker in the interior of a defense. And, you know, defensive tackle going top 10 sometimes can be a little tenuous, but I think he's well worth it. So I wanted to pop him in there at 10.
All right. And Fry thinks that they're going to go running back. He thinks that running back's going to go top 10 in this class. Is there a guy who could?
No. I would be really surprised. Really surprised if there's a running. Like Isaiah Spiller and Breece Hall. There's, you know what the problem with running backs, not there aren't good players. No one's fast enough, right? For you to go in the top 10, you got to be fast. And I just don't think anyone's fast enough to be a top 10 player. I think one could go in the first round, but I even think that could be a little bit tenuous. I think it's going to be tough this year for running back, unless someone emerges kind of out of nowhere. It's a kind of a slower or smaller class, right?
Is Spiller eligible?
Yeah. He's my number one. I at 225. He's just, I think his probably adjusted score will be good. I just don't know. You know, he's not going to be a 4 or 5 flat guy at that weight. So I think that's going to be the issue. Like Kyron Williams will be really fast, but he's 5'9", 190, you know.
Jerrion Ealy, Ole Miss?
I love Jerrion Ealy, but, you know, he's going to struggle to get in the top 100. So, yeah, you know. Yeah.
Like Michael Carter.
So, look, if Jerrion Ealy gets in a position like Michael Carter, I mean, I think Jerrion Ealy's the next Nyheim Hines. I think he's going to be that kind of guy, okay. Right? He's going to catch a ton of passes.
He's going to put up big numbers this year with Kiffin. Kiffin's going to use him a lot. But, no, I agree. I'm not saying he's – I'm just saying you have the big guys and then you got the little quick guys. So, I think right. He's the only one like Kyron Williams who's just quick, elusive. So, all right, so there's the top 10 chain. Who's the defensive player the Cowboys are going to select this year? So I know Hamilton's already off the board. Give me a safety. Maybe we trade for Xavier Howard next few weeks. So I don't know if we're going to necessarily need a corner. So who's a safety or an edge defender that's going to go outside the top 10 that my Cowboys can select? Malachi Moore is next year. So so maybe we don't address safety till then. But here we go.
You think the Cowboys would be bad enough next year to get Malachi Moore?
That's how our discussion started last year.
That's true. And then you started
exactly the first thing you said. I said Parsons to Dallas, and you said I don't think Dallas is going to be bad enough. And that was how the story began.
If I jinx Dak Prescott getting hurt every year, then you have a problem. So let's not try that again.
You were the jinx. I was the one making the prediction.
True. Look, I haven't gone to the Super Bowl this year, so
who are we taking at 32?
So 31. I am losing. Daxon Hill, safety from Michigan, is a player I like a lot. He's definitely more of kind of that pass coverage center fielder, make a big play, 6 foot, 190. He's someone that flies, man. I mean, I really like his sideline to sideline ability. And, you know, Michigan, not the best offensive school, but they bring some defensive talent that can play. And he's one of those guys. So he's someone to look for, I think, would be a really nice fit if you want that playmaker and maybe some better coverage there in the back end.
Yeah. So the last time we took a Michigan defensive player late, it was Taco Charlton. So I'm definitely a little nervous here in Michigan, you know, late. But Taco Charlton was we took him over TJ Watt. So that's on Jerry. You know, I wouldn't even say that's on Jerry. That's on, I can't even think of his name. He's with the Raiders now. Defensive coach. What the hell is his name? Defensive line coach. It was he preferred Taco because Taco puts his finger in the dirt over TJ. It's not Monty Kiffin. It was a coach who Marinelli. Marinelli. Yeah. Marinelli wanted Taco, and it was very bad decision. And then we gave you guys TJ. You guys got
TJ. I appreciate it.
Taco. What a terrible decision. All right. Shane, thank you so much for all this discussion here, this top 10, these predictions. All of this stuff was great, excellent content. Everybody, go follow Shane on the Twitter, at Shane P. Hallam. Shane, why don't you plug your podcast a little bit, let everybody know, you know, what they can expect to hear on that, because I do suggest everybody who's listening to the show right now, you should subscribe to that podcast as well.
Right. I do the Devy Marketplace every week with Kane Fasell. So we talk Devy, fantasy football. We are the marketplace. So we're really about value, buying, selling, you know, buying low, selling high. If you're interested in that, check it out. Even if you're not, don't play in Devy. It's a good podcast to listen to just to get some names, right? Kind of like this. Like, I don't like college football that much, but you get some names, guys you can look at, you can follow the buzz. That's really what we're about there. So we have Patreon as well, patreon.com/Devy Marketplace. So yeah, if you're in the Twist Titles Patreon, want to hop to ours, we have a group chat as well and help people out there. So check that out. Check down on Twitter at Shane P. Hallam. And like I said, I'm going to be covering Steelers training camp for Steel City Insider 24/7 Sports this weekend. So I'm excited for that coming up.
Hell yeah, that's very exciting. So Shane is interested in the buzz. That's why we got lightning bolts behind him.
Yeah.
So we wanted to – I knew I had to draw him in one way or another, and the buzz was here. So that's the reason we got him. I do want to let everybody know today's episode is brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, and great gambling tips. Be sure to head to primetimesportstalk.com, check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family. Again, primetimesportstalk.com, your go-to spot for sports content. And I do want to let everybody else know, keep your eyes open. Shep Stradamus has something coming up. If you listened to the show earlier, I wouldn't even say I teased it. I dropped it completely. I dropped the ball. August 1st, we got something coming out. John Lau, appreciate you, man.
Yeah, man.
Amazing day as well. Appreciate you listening. Joseph, thanks for coming in here. Joseph said he hopes the Cowboys don't take Burrito Carlton this draft. It's possible. Justin, thanks for coming in. Everybody who listened live, we appreciate you. Everybody who's listening at home, didn't get a chance to listen live, we appreciate you as well. Remember, like and subscribe to shows. Throw us a 5-star review. All of that stuff really helps. You can find the show on Twitter, at Toilets to Titles. You could find me on the Twitter at Coach Sheps. And again, August 1st, we got great stuff dropping. So stay tuned. We appreciate you all. Catch you all later on.